Dear Heavenly God, we pray that as your word continues to be lived out in this place and in our lives, as we have fellowshipped, as we have visited with the young people, as we have sung and prayed, let us continue now to live into your word, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and redeemer. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture is from the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God as something to be grasped at, but rather took the form of a slave. And being born in the likeness of human beings, he was known to be of human estate. And it was thus that he humbled himself, obediently accepting even death. Death on a cross. And because of this, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every other name. So that at Jesus' name, every knee must bend in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth. And every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. From the most ancient of days, the most ancient of times, when the Apostle Paul is depicted in art, in one hand, he usually has a scroll or a book talking about symbolizing his role in helping to put together the works of the New Testament. And in the other hand, more often than not, he has a sword. The apostle has a sword that depicts his no-hold-barred attitude of life. And so we don't often think of this fierce evangelist suddenly breaking into song. But like Tony in West Side Story, who just met a girl named Maria, he can't contain himself any longer in this fifth verse of 2 Philippians. The usually rough, gruff Paul cannot contain himself another second, and he bursts into this song. Now, this is probably not a song he's making up on the spot. We really think this is maybe the first worship song that was ever put in print, the first Christian worship song put in print. And I just love this Philippians hymn. And I wanted to read it out completely in one place. And in doing so, though, I went against conventional sermonizing. I read Paul's illustration to the sermon that begins chapter 2 of Philippians before we read and discussed the sermon itself. So let's go back and work our way into the hymn. And don't get all tense and sit on the end of your seat thinking I'm going to break into song. No, it's not going to happen. You don't want to hear my croak. You really don't. But let's go back to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. The Apostle Paul begins this chapter 2 sermon in Philippians by telling the people, you know, I love you and I am so proud of you. And in that pride, you have made my joy complete. I am joyous because we are together on the same Christian team. That's the way he begins this great sermon. And that's the way I'm going to begin my second sermon with you all. It's been a long week. Believe me, it's been a long week. Yeah. And it's been a great week. And it's been a week that I see the joy of this congregation. I am proud already of this congregation. I walk around town. I'm the new pastor at the Covenant Presbyterian Church. I try to look taller than 5'4 when I say that. And so the Apostle Paul is saying the same thing. I am so proud of you, and you make my life joyous. You have made me glad. And you have made me glad by encouraging one another, by really working at living out love and compassion and sympathy for one another. And you share the Holy Spirit. And you, as you do this, I am continually proud and we are continually joyful. And he And he congratulates them. Congratulations on being of the same mind and being in perfect and full accord, having the complete same mindset all the time. But they're human beings, and this is a church he's talking to. So they are not 100% of the same opinion in mind in politics. Some thought Caesar was the bomb. Others thought he needed bombed. They were not of the same mindset theologically. They weren't all in the same place. And even in ministry, they weren't all in the same mindset. We're going to find out in chapter 4. Something's going on in this church. Two of the women and some of the folks there aren't agreeing on what should be happening. They're just not quite in the same place. But we don't have to be 100% of the same opinion to be glad and proud of each other, to do God's love, to show God's love, to have that mindset of Jesus Christ. We don't have to completely and fully live out our opinions. I like my opinion. I hold my opinion. But that doesn't mean I can't listen to your opinion and honor and see how you obey God in your feelings and what you hold. So Paul is saying, it is evident, and it's been evident to me, that you are loving Jesus, that you love each other. Now, most of us would leave it there, but Paul being Paul, he's got to go on. Now, let me give you a piece of advice on how to do this. Let me show you how to do this better. Verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Humility does not mean a false sense of modesty about our gifts and talents. Humility doesn't mean discounting our gifts and talents when somebody says, you know, you're really good at that. I really appreciate how you do that. And humility doesn't mean thinking that everyone's gifts and talents are better than ours. Humility is recognizing what the Lord God has given us, recognizing what the Lord God has given you, and living that out. Regard others as better than yourselves. When I first heard the illustration that I'm going to use from a sermon, it hit me, it struck me, it changed my life. You know, it isn't a seismic change, it isn't a change that a lot of people saw, but in small ways, in good ways, in a great way, it changed my life. Here's the illustration. Now, when I was in North Platte, I lived alone. And let me back up a second and say, last week I said I hate meetings. I meant I hate meetings that don't go anywhere, that are meetings for meeting's sake. I love to meet with people. I love to be around people. I love to plan church and everything and then watch God laugh as our plans change and everything. But meetings are okay, but I really hate shopping. I can walk miles. And I can just keep hiking and going. 20 minutes at the store and my feet hurt. I'm ready to go home. And when I lived in North Platte all alone, I had to do my own grocery shopping. And so I'd get behind that big old cart and I'd get jostled and I'd get pushed and I'd get pulled. And I'm glum and I'm not happy. And by the end of an hour, because I can't find anything, I just walk around and around. I'm stealthily going down the aisle, trying to find the shortest line. And as I see what seems to me the most relatively short line, I pull in. And as I pull in, somebody with four things in their hand jumps in front of me. Yeah, isn't that awful? I'm angry. I'm tired. I've had enough of this place. Am I going to let somebody get away with that? It's then I hear that great verse. Let others step in front of you. Regard others as better than yourself. So I smile and I say, go ahead. And always, they always apologize. I say, oh no, you go. I say, no, I'm in no hurry. Just go. No biggie. At worst, I've done a kindness. And maybe I've even made somebody's day who's even grumpier than I am, hard as that is to believe. That's what Paul is getting at. That little gesture. Let others ahead of you in line. Let others regard others as better than yourself. I haven't changed the world. There's no way I've changed the world in that little moment. But it leads into verse 4. Let each of you not look to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. As I said, we all hold our opinions. We like our opinions. But also look at and respect and consider others' opinions. That's Christ-like humility. Regard others as better than yourself. That's the mind of Christ. And here Paul just has to jump into song. He has to leap into song. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus Christ is our Lord and God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. We should be like the Apostle Thomas on Easter Sunday night. We should be continually proclaiming, my Lord and my God, when we think of Jesus. Jesus is here. Jesus is God. Jesus is at the right hand of God since before the beginning of time. And though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God as something to be grasped at, but rather he emptied himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of human beings. And he was a human being. And it was thus that he humbled himself. Jesus did not grasp onto godness, his godhood. He didn't hang on for all he was worth to heaven, but he willingly accepted becoming a human being, emptied himself of godness. The literal Greek translation is, he made himself nothing, made himself one of us. And as I think about it, this is so interesting to me. This is so comforting, better word, comforting to me. When Jesus Christ became a human being, when he emptied out his godhood, he gave up his omniscience. Big word, but it means he gave up knowing the future in certainty. He gave up knowing that everything's going to be just okay. He gave up knowing the certainty of the future. What a great comfort that is for me. What a great comfort that this God became a human being, and when he becomes a human being, he gives up everything that he knows for sure with perfect certainty. And so that's why the letter to the Hebrews can say, we have a Savior who has experienced everything we have experienced. Our Savior, our Lord and our God, has gone through every emotion, every pain, every trial that we can experience. He knows what we go through. Our Lord Jesus Christ says to each of us, I know how you feel. Our God says to each of us, I know how you feel. What a great comfort that is for me, knowing that God has experienced all of this mess. Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God incarnate. He holds the universe in the palm of his hand, and he gives up everything and becomes a slave. He who directs the lightning in its path gives up everything for our sake. And it was thus that he humbled himself, obediently accepting even death, death on a cross. And the Apostles' Creed tells us when he died on the cross, he descended into hell. When we are going through our hellish times, those times when we don't think it can get any worse, our Lord knows how we feel because he is himself has been in the depths of hell. Jesus is God. He empties himself of his godhood and becomes a human being. He empties himself of his humanity, obediently accepting death, and plummets into the depths of hell. He has given up everything for your sake and for God's sake and for each individual's sake. He has given up everything. He is nothing anymore. And because of this, God has highly exalted him and raised him and has bestowed on him the name above every other name. Now God takes this completely humble nothing and raises him and exalts him and brings him all the way back to the realms of glory. And so at Jesus' name, every knee must bend in the heavens, here on earth, and even under the earth. And proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the most exalted of God because he chose to be the most humble. Jesus begins before time in the realms of glory. Gives up everything, becomes a lowly slave of a human being. Gives up even his humanity. Descends into hell where he can go down no further. And he is raised from the dead by a loving and gracious God. And St. Paul is saying here that your attitude must be the same attitude as Jesus Christ. Your mindset must be the same as Jesus Christ. Humility, service. One day the apostles are walking down the road. Yeah, Peter's okay, but I'm better. Yeah, John's good looking, but you know, that looks aren't everything. I think I'm a better apostle. I'm pretty good at this. And they say, hey, Jesus, you settle the matter. Who's the best? Who's the greatest? And Jesus looks at him and says, I got one word for you. Serve. Serve. That's the one word. You want to be great, serve each other. That's the mindset of Christ. He said to them at that moment, he said to them, whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The mindset of Christ is recognizing that real service isn't acting like a Christian. Real service is being Christian. And this is my commandment, he says to us. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Give up everything. Give up everything. No greater love has anyone than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. Mandate, mandatum. If you do what I mandate, that you love one another, give up everything. Give up your wants. Give up your desires. Give up all that you think you need. And live in imitatio Christi. That goes way back to St. Francis de Sales. It's a great little expression. Imitatio Christi. In imitation of Christ. Live in Christ's mind. Live like he did. Live like he does in us. Empty yourselves of your desires. Empty yourselves of your indulgences, your wants. Do as he did. Empty yourself and give your whole life in service, loving each other. And it doesn't have to be seismic shifts. Just put somebody else first. Let them go in line ahead of you. As much as that is hard, let them go in line ahead of you. Put others first in simple, everyday ways. There's no greater love than humility, putting each other first. Encouraging one another with compassion, sympathy, sharing the Spirit. And as we do these things, we will continually be the joyful people of God. And God has made us joyful. God has given us everything. We come to the table, always come to the table with the proclamation, we are the joyful people of God. And we proclaim that men and women will come from the east and from the west and from the north and the south to sit at table in the kingdom of heaven with God incarnate. The first, second, and third persons of the Holy Trinity join us in this meal that we share. And we are joined by believers of every place and every time and every mindset of service and love to live out this perfect example, this perfect showing of the mind of Christ, who, even though he knew his time had come, even though he knew the pain that he was going to experience, gave himself in an intimate, perfect moment for all of us. Anyone who needs Jesus Christ today, anyone who feels Christ need the need of Christ with them is invited to come to the table. Let us pray. God of all, you gave us your only begotten Son as he took the form of a slave and obediently accepted even death on a cross. Give us the same mind that was in Christ, that sharing in his humility, we may come to be with him in his glory, along with Briar and all the saints who live with you in peace and are now at table in the kingdom of heaven. Lord Jesus, help us to bow our knees in worship, bow our heads in our thinking to your will, and bow our hearts to love. Father, hear. Father, forgive. Father, do. Hear what we speak not. Forgive what we speak amiss. Do what we leave undone, not according to our words or our deeds, but according to your mercy and truth, that all may work for your glory and the good news of your kingdom. Help us to always know that we are forgiven and to be at peace. Amen. Alleluia.